This morning we will look at Psalm 46, God is our refuge. The mention of God as a refuge is found in verse 1, verse 7, verse 11, though the word refuge mentioned there as well, 1, 7, and 11. So a refuge in time of trouble and need. This morning, I want us to look at Psalm 46. The other thing I'd like for us to do between now and the end of the quarter, we're going to be coming down toward the end of the quarter here pretty soon. Some of our psalms are a little bit shorter, and so I would like to go through the psalm and then sing our song together, and then with the time remaining, I'd like to adjust our schedule and go back and start doing some review. We'll start with Psalm 26 and work our way forward. It's always good to build in time for review. When you go back and look at something, you solidify it in your mind. You make that more firm in your thinking. And so I want to do that between now and the end of the quarter. Let's read Psalm 46 this morning. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth do change, and though the mountains be shaken into the heart of the seas, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains tremble with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of God Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God will help her in that right early. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. Jehovah of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of Jehovah, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Jehovah of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. So God is a refuge in time of trouble. And we certainly live in a troubling world today with different things that are going on abroad and at home. All kinds of, there's killing, there's terrorism, there's other issues going on. There's immorality. We're legislating immorality in this nation, other things like that. And it certainly is a time of trouble, and we need to make sure that we turn to God and not to some other person or some other thing in these times of trouble. As I mentioned earlier, verse 1, verse 7, verse 11, God is our refuge. And so that's the theme of this psalm. Several psalms through this section right here are attributed to the sons of Korah. We've already studied that. Levites who were in charge of the temple service, the music in the temple service. This particular title has one new item set to Alamoth, which means maidens. It may have been sung by the young women. It may have been sung by those with higher soprano voices. It's mentioned one other time in 1 Chronicles 15 and verse 20 that the singing was to be set to Alamoth. Psalm 46 describes the trust and confidence that Israel has in God in time of trouble. And notice in verse 2, though the earth change, there are changes that take place in society. Many of them are for the worse, and when that happens, we need to turn to God. In time of trouble or change, verses 1 through 3, God is a refuge in time of raging, verses 4 through 7, where the nations are raging against God's people, and a time of war, verses 8 through 11. He is a refuge. He is a place of shelter and safety and a help for his people in time of trouble. We don't know the exact occasion for this psalm. Some suggest that it may be when Judah is being attacked by Sennacherib and the Assyrian army when Hezekiah is king, 2 Kings 18 through 20, or it may have been the time when Moab and Ammon are fighting against Judah in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This is the very psalm that inspired Martin Luther in 1529 to write his song, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And we have put the words of this psalm to A Mighty Fortress, and we'll sing that later. So, who do we turn to, or what do we turn to in times of trouble? Do we turn to money, things, drugs, alcohol, immorality, whatever? What do we turn to when we're having a trouble? Who do we turn to? What do we turn to? We need to be turning to God for our refuge. Sherry, we'll start with you this morning. Number one, how does the psalmist describe God?
Refuge, strength, and present.
Okay, he's our refuge, strength, a present help in time of trouble. And Eric, number two, what does Israel not do in the midst of chaotic change?
They will not fear.
We do not fear. We don't quit God. We don't become an unbeliever. We don't give up. We don't give in. We don't fear. Of course, we had a whole psalm, Psalm 27, fearless trust in times of trouble. So we're not going to fear. Number three, Joyce, what does the psalmist describe as being changed, shaken, and troubled? Right. And this language of the earth and the mountains and the waters being shaken and moved, it's the language of chaos. This is used especially in the Old Testament to talk about world events, changing world events, and how God is going to have his hand in those things. You can see similar language in Psalm 18 beginning in verse 7. So it's not talking about literal earthquakes and things like that so much as it is talking about the change of world events and God's providential hand in that and what he plans to do in that. And so they're going to trust in God during those kinds of changes. Patricia, number four, what city does the psalmist speak of and how does he describe it? Right. We're talking about Jerusalem. And notice that he talks about that there's a river there, the streams of which make glad the city of God. Anybody that knows anything about the geography of Jerusalem knows that there's no river in Jerusalem. This is an expression used to talk about the blessings and the peace and the gladness that is provided by God. Jerusalem has a couple of springs, and you remember the story of Hezekiah and the spring of Gihon and things like that. There's Gihon and En-Rogel, two springs that provide water, but there's no river that runs through Jerusalem. This river is symbolic of blessing and peace that God gives to the city, as a river is symbolic of that other places in the scripture. So, in times of trouble and change, verses 1 through 3, God is our refuge. When nations come up against Jerusalem and God's people, verses 4 through 7, God is our refuge. And then Mike, number 5, what does God do for the city? Exactly. He's going to be in the midst of her. He's going to help her. And so, whether it's change, whether it's nations raging against God's people, God is going to be there for a help. Verse 1, a present help. Verse 5, God will help her. And the older versions say something like, and that right early. That literally is at the dawn of the morning, or the face of the morning, right as the day begins. In other words, he's going to do it quickly and promptly. The New American Standard says, when the morning dawns. So God's not going to drag his feet. God's not going to be lazy. You don't have to push him and prod him and poke him to help you. He's going to be there right early, literally, or at the dawn of the morning. Okay? Matthew number 6. What do the nations do and what does God do against them? Okay, and again, the earth melted. That's not literal. That's talking about God is going to step in and judge these nations and remove them in time, and it's like the earth melting. These chaotic changes in the earth are symbolic of society changes, national changes, things like that. And if this is Assyria coming up against Jerusalem in 701 B.C., later in 722 B.C., they take off the northern kingdom, but in time Assyria is brought down and Babylon is raised up as a nation. So nations come and go based upon God working his hand among them. Janice, how is God described? Verse 7. Okay, Lord of hosts. Angelic armies, he leads God's people, he leads heavenly forces. What does the psalmist call upon the people to do? Mandy, verse 8. Right, and in particular, the works of the Lord here are his works among God's people and the nations who come up in rage against her. In particular, the wars that are going on. What he does to stop the wars. And so, come and behold these things. And it helps us to take refuge in God when we come and look at what he does. And of course, we look at what he does through his word. And when we take time to stop in our day to behold the works of the Lord, it helps us to take refuge in him. Larry, number 9, what does God do in the earth? Right. And the Old Testament teaches that God has his hand in these things. When we see wars starting, when we see wars finishing, of course, in our lifetime, we've heard of well-known wars. You know, we've got the different wars that are going on in Afghanistan. You go back to Vietnam. You go back to Korea. You go back to World War II. You go beyond to World War I, and on and on. And we see wars starting. We see wars stopping. And we need to remember that God rules in the kingdoms of men. We can't just view those things as men starting things, men stopping things, and it's just men only. God is, in his providential ruling, he has his hand in those affairs as well. And we need to remember that. I think our world is becoming more and more secular, where the only thing we think about is man and what man does. And there is no God, it's just man, and man does stuff or man doesn't do things, and that's all it is. But we've got to remember from these psalms and learn from these psalms that God's hand is in these things. So verses 1 through 3, God is a refuge in time of change and trouble. Verses 4 through 7, when people come up against God's people, he's there as a refuge. And then verses 8 and 9, he's going to stop wars when he sees the need for that. And he's a refuge during those times as well. So basically three divisions to this short psalm. And notice the Selah, or rest at the end of each of those divisions. Verse 3, verse 7, and at the end. Take time to pause. We studied that it's probably a musical pause where you take time to stop and think about what's just been sung. Okay, Sherry, number 10. What admonition does God give the people? Right. And this word be still means literally to cease. Stop struggling with God. Stop fighting. Stop resisting him. Let go and let him have his way. And it's good for us to do that and just let God have his way. We sing a song in our songbook, let him have his way with thee, and so forth. and know that I am God. Not book knowledge, not just information, but truly appreciate who He is and obey Him in our lives. And it's good to be still in that sense. Stop struggling and give in and let God have His way. And then Joyce, number 11, how is God described?
As the Lord opposed with us and the God of judgment, who is our refuge?
Right. So, once again, God is our refuge. This is a little bit different word used from verse 1. This is a high tower. And so the high tower around a city would be a defensive structure. So he's a high tower. He's our refuge and defense and strength. Okay? So really the main thought of this psalm is God is our refuge. Eric, what trust and confidence does Paul express concerning God in Romans 8:31?
If God is with us, who can be against us?
Right. And John says, he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. And so we need to be turning to God for our strength. Patricia, what does the psalmist say in Psalm 118, verse 6? Okay, Mike? Exactly. We're not going to have fear. So in times of change, trouble, these different things that are discussed in the psalm, we're not going to fear and allow that to cause us to fall away in some way. And if I'm not mistaken, in Hebrews 13 and verse 6, I think that is the quotation from Psalm 118, verse 6, right. So Psalm 118, 6 is what is quoted in Hebrews 13 and verse 6. The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What shall man do unto me? So the Hebrew writer quotes from Psalm 118, verse 6. Yes. Oh, yeah, Hebrews 6:18. Right, the Hebrew writer says that we can come to God or draw near to God with our hope. He's a strong encouragement who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Thank you. So in Hebrews, He is our refuge. He is our hope because of God's immutability. He does not lie or change His word. Okay? So the main thing that I wanted us to get for this psalm is refuge in time of need. Okay? Matthew, what did Abraham look for in Hebrews 11? Right. So in Psalm 46, the city of God is Jerusalem, but we look for a heavenly Jerusalem. And how are the saints in heaven described, Janice? Yeah, pillars in the temple of God. Is there something also there about the name of the city? Anybody else add anything on to that? I'm sorry? Yeah, given the name of the city of God, the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven. And so God's people are described as a city. And, of course, Jerusalem has always been, at least from the days of David, a place where God blesses. And so the new Jerusalem is symbolic of that same thing with regard to people in heaven. And they're going to be a pillar in God's temple and the name of the new Jerusalem on them. Okay. God is with us. Did you notice that in the psalm? God is with her. Verse 5, He's in the midst of her. Verse 7, Jehovah of hosts is with us. verse 11, God is with us. What name is Jesus called, Mandy, and what does that name mean? Yeah, he was called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. So Jesus was God in the flesh and God with the people. Larry, we need to be still and know that the Lord is great. He's exalted. What admonition does Habakkuk give in Habakkuk 2:20? Right. And it's the same idea of being still, being silent. It's taking time to pause and reflect about that God is in heaven. And the more we do that, the better this world will be. The less we do that, the worse we're going to be. And I'm seeing more and more where statistically they're called the nuns, N-O-N-E-S. They're just nothing. And it's called the rise of the nuns. It's people who are just nothing. They're nothing. And you can see it every day you go up and down Memorial Boulevard coming to services. People, they're going out doing other things. God's not in their life. You know, going to some show, going to the beach, hanging out with friends. They're just nothing. They're not necessarily hurting anybody, but they're just none. They're nothing. And we've got to be still and know that God is exalted. We've got to be silent and remember that He's on a throne in heaven. And the more we do that, the better we'll be. The less we do that, the worse we're going to be. So that's a good admonition. Sherry, who is exalted above the heavens? God is exalted. And so in this psalm, He's described as most high. It's to remind the people that there is no one above Him. And then Eric, who is exalted with a name above every name? Okay, Jesus. And for us today, Jesus is exalted and He has a name. That's not His name, Jesus. It's His authority, His character. And it's above every other name. So when we give Jesus His rightful place, we'll be well off. When we don't, we'll have a problem. Okay, let's sing this psalm, and then with our time remaining, we'll start doing some review. Martin Luther was reading this psalm and took the sentiment and developed the song, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Again, in verse 11, the word refuge, and also verse 7. It's a little bit different word than verse 1. It's a high tower. It's a mighty fortress. And so he keyed in on that for this psalm. Let's sing this together. We're familiar with the tune. God is our refuge and our strength, a present help in our distress. We will not therefore be afraid, though all the earth should be removed, though mountains great be hurled into the ocean depths, though seas may roar and foam and billows shake the shore, though mountains tremble at their power, a river brings refreshing streams to cheer the city of our God. The Most High's holy dwelling place, God is in her, she won't be moved. At dawn will God help her, nations range, realms quake. He lifts his voice, earth melts. The Lord of hosts with us, our fortress strong is Jacob's God. Oh, come see what the Lord has done. He desolations brought on earth. On earth he puts an end to wars, breaks bow and spear and chariots burns. Be still, know I am God, exalted o'er all men, exalted o'er all earth, the Lord of hosts with us. Our fortress strong is Jacob's God. Okay. If you'll turn back to Psalm 26, and you, if you have your notes and want to turn back there in your notes, that would be good too. Let's start doing some reviewing, and hopefully this will help us. Psalm 26, the psalmist offers up a protest, not in the sense of like we think of a unruly mob out in the street protesting, but to protest means to assert or to affirm or declare. And he is declaring his integrity. He is asserting his integrity. And based upon that integrity, he wants the Lord to bless him and protect him. In verse 1, judge me, O Jehovah, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in Jehovah without wavering. And then in verse 11, but as for me, I walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. So the psalmist wants to appeal to God for help. Examine me, try me, test me. But he's living in a way that he believes he will pass the test. And so we need to live with integrity. We need to have a character that is upright and good in all ways. And notice in verse 5, I hate the assembly of evildoers. I will not sit with the wicked. So mine integrity makes me walk right. It also keeps me away from what is wrong. So the integrity of the psalmist. And we need to, if there's something that we need to remove in our life so that we can have a life of integrity, that means upright honesty. We're not trying to fool anybody. We're not trying to hide anything. We're just open and honest and upright. And notice verse 3, I have walked in thy truth. My life matches up with the truth of God's word each day. Verses 4 and 5, I'm going to stay away from falsehood and those things that are wrong. So, a protestation of integrity. Let's look at Psalm 27. Fearless trust in God. This is a great psalm. There are different things that come up in the life of the psalmist. There are adversaries, verse 2. There is war, verse 3. There's other kinds of problems. He has enemies, verse 11. But in all of these situations, he's not going to fear. He's going to put his trust in God. Jehovah is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Jehovah is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Look at verse 3. My heart shall not fear. Verse 14. Be strong and let thy heart take courage. wait thou for Jehovah. And it does take strength and courage from day to day to face different things that we have to face, whether it's in our personal lives or whether it's nationally or globally, whatever might be going on, we have to let God be our strength and trust and light in salvation. So it's a great psalm where we are not going to fear. And there's a number of situations in our life, talking with others about the gospel, standing for truth, standing for what is right, talking with others about their behavior when it's not right. All of those things take courage. It's easy just not to do that, just to be quiet and not say anything. But it takes fearless trust in the Lord to say right and think right and do right each day. And so we need this confidence in our life. When we feel that our confidence is being shaken or undermined or eroding, this would be a good psalm to read and gain that courage and confidence again. Psalm 28. Turn with me there. Psalm 28. When we pray to God, do we pray again for answered prayers? Do we remember to come back and thank God when God answers the prayer? In Psalm 28, the theme is answered prayer. Verse 2. Hear the voice of my supplication when I cry unto thee. And then verse 6. Blessed be Jehovah, because he hath heard the voice of my supplication. So we pray to God often, but do we come back and thank God for those answered prayers that we prayed yesterday or last week or last month or last year? We don't need to move on and forget God. When he answers our prayers, we need to be rejoicing. We need to be thankful for that. So there is, in verses 1 through 5, a prayer, and he prays for different things that he needs help with. But in verses 6 through 9, he thanks God for that answered prayer. So it's a good reminder. I believe we all get busy, and we're ready to move on to the next thing in our life, and we forget about thanking God for that answered prayer. Any comments or thoughts on any of these? I meant to ask you on those the first two there. Any observations, thoughts, comments on Psalm 26, 27, or 28? Again, go back and read them as you have time. Solidify these thoughts in our mind, and we can call to mind later if we are trying to develop a lesson or some point or we need some thought in our own life. We can remember where they are if we will, sort of commit some of these main thoughts. Psalm 26, my integrity, walking in integrity. Psalm 27, fearless trust in God when different problems are going on. Psalm 28, remembering to thank God for answered prayer. Okay, let's look at Psalm 29. Psalm 29, the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord is in different places. And this is a psalm that reminds us that God's word is powerful, and it's not just confined to the Bible. We think, well, where's God's word? Well, it's right here on the pages of the Bible. Well, it is there. But God speaks, and behind the scenes, we don't hear it, but God can speak and from heaven, and his will can be carried forth in a number of different ways, and it could be also just in the natural phenomenon of storms and different things that go on. So, verses 1 and 2, the Lord's word is praised in heaven. Verses 3 through 9, the Lord's word is heard in the storm. And we talked about how that this would be a natural thunderstorm or rainstorm in Palestine. And we were reminded when we went through this psalm that God is not just about spiritual things. God also controls just nature. And there are psalms that, speak to nothing but God's word in nature, like Job. Toward the end of Job, God is in control of all the animals and nature and just different things like that. So the voice of the Lord is not just about spiritual things. It's also about controlling his physical universe as well. So in heaven, in the storm, and then in the earth, verses 10 through 11. So the Lord sits as king above the flood. His word is what controls all of these things. And we need to remember that. Again, we're in an age where people think about just the word of man. They don't think about the word of God. And we're seeing more and more of that today. Okay, any thoughts on Psalm 29? Going back, reading Psalm 29 would be a good thing to read to be reminded of the power of God's word. The power of God's word. He spoke all things into existence. Let there be light, the word of God, John 1, verse 1, Genesis 1, 1. But his word continues to control all of the things that he has made. Okay. Let's look at Psalm 30. Psalm 30. Deliverance from death. There is some illness or sickness in the life of the psalmist that has brought him to death's door. And he's praying to be delivered from that. Sheol, or the grave, or death, is used in verse 3. He's crying out for healing, verse 2. So, deliverance from this sickness that is leading to death. Look at verse 3. Jehovah, thou hast brought my soul up from Sheol. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down into the pit. And then verse 9. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? And so, thank you, Lord, for keeping me from death, because if I die, I can't praise you anymore on the earth. And so, what benefit would it be for me to die at this point in my life? Thank you for saving me from that. So, some praise and thanksgiving for being delivered from death. In verses 1 through 3, the psalmist moves from sickness to health. Verses 4 and 5, from weeping to joy, and then verses 6 through 12, from mourning to dancing. And so, again, a physical illness and praying to be delivered for healing. Verse 2, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. And so we need to pray to God for physical illnesses. And James tells us that in James chapter 5. If someone is sick, pray. And even pray that someone would be, they might be in the hospital emergency room. They might be at death's door, and we can pray that they would be healed so that they don't have to die at that moment. Okay, any thoughts on that? Okay. We have time for one more, I believe. Let's look at Psalm 31. Psalm 31, faith in the midst of foes or enemies. Look at verse 1. In thee, O Jehovah, do I take refuge. We studied that this morning, right? Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in thy righteousness. And then verse 4, pluck me out of the net that they have laid privily. There's foes, there's enemies. So save me from that. And give me a faith that will help me to be strong during that. Look at verse 6. I hate them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in Jehovah. So when enemies are against us, wherever that might be in our life, we need to pray to God that he will deliver us from that and give us the strength. But we've got to continue trusting in God during those times. We can't give up. So in the midst of all of this, I'm going to trust in Jehovah, verse 6. And then look at verse 14. I trusted in thee, O Jehovah. I said, thou art my God. All the way down through this psalm, there are different places where there are foes and enemies and people that are causing him problems. It shows up again in verse 18, excuse me. They speak against the righteous insolently and so forth. And so he's going to trust in God during these troubles, during these enemies and problems. And he closes with a great exhortation, and we'll close with this morning. Let's read together Psalm 31, 23 and 24. It's a great exhortation to close on. O love Jehovah, all ye his saints. Jehovah preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth him that dealeth proudly. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all ye that hope in Jehovah. So we'll close with that this morning. As you have time in your personal study, go back and review. As you have time in your personal meditation, just read the Psalms. Just open up your Bible while you have some quiet time in your home and meditate on them and read them. Gain encouragement from them. Thank you.